Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David. How are you tonight?
Well, that really stunk. That really stunk. Because now the Oilers are below real 500 again, Bruce. Just shifting my screen over here. Below real 500. They got, 18 wins, 19 losses. And
a four-game regulation losing streak.
And that was a real tough one to lose because the Oilers didn't play bad in that game. There was a few mistakes by players, and we'll get into that. But really, it came down to one thing, and that was, of course, goaltending. So first, let's do our good things, two good things, two bad things, and two numbers podcast because we're going to cover the goaltending in some detail. But what was your good thing?
Well, I got to go with the power play tonight. Here we are, the exact polar opposite of the last game against Vancouver, where Edmonton won that game 2-0 at even strength, but lost it 3-0 on special teams. Tonight it was the exact opposite, where Vancouver scored 4 goals, 5-on-5 to 0 by the Oilers. But Edmonton cashed 2 of their 3 power plays. And in fact, are now 4-for-6 in the last 2 games. But unfortunately, they've been outscored 8-1 at 5-versus-5 in those same 2 games. So it's like a consolation prize. They're getting a little bit of success on the power play, but they're not able to outscore their mistakes at even strength.
It was an interesting power play. Both goals were similar, Bruce, in that McDavid was in the corner both times, deep in the corner. Mm-hmm. And fed players in the slot for goals, Nugent Hopkins and Draisaitl. And it strikes me that the typical umbrella formation for the power play doesn't work for the Edmonton Oilers right now. It works a little bit better with Klefbom. He's gone back to not shooting enough, and Nugent Hopkins doesn't shoot off his off wing, so he's not a threat necessarily on that other side. So I don't know if they're.
Well, they did score from there.
Yes, on a pass from the corner, not a cross seam pass. Mm-hmm. Someone facing him, he can score on that pass. So I'm just wondering, we'll have to watch this to see if McDavid sets up down there. I remember a few years ago, the Oilers or the Red Wings, I believe it was, or maybe it was the Wild, ran a double low post scheme where they had two passers in the corners. Mm-hmm. Feeding guys in the slot. Yep. And that strikes me with McDavid. Maybe that's the big question is, where is he best in the power play? What's his natural spot? And I'm not convinced it's the right half wall because of his reluctance to shoot. But down low, where he could take it to the net or pass it out to people in the slot that he's facing might be the ticket. Not just might have been chance that he was there on those two passes, but or maybe they're working on that.
Well, he's anything but a conventional attacker, so trying to set up a conventional power play around him seems to me to be a bit of a not the way to go about it. That you got to take advantage of him, but by doing that, you got to let the guy move.
I mean, yeah,
skating is his whole. Well, not his whole, but I mean that's the basis of his. Of his strength is his skating ability, and stapling him to the sidewall. You know, I just never saw the sense of that. But they tried a few different things tonight, and clearly it worked in terms of getting 2 goals on 3 chances. So that's my good thing. Yours?
Well, it's the role reversal of the 2 Oiler goalies, and I'm going to do the good thing and the bad thing at the same time. So. This year, typically, it's been Koskinen who's been the great guy and Talbot who's struggled in early in games and hasn't made the save on the first scoring chance shot or let in a bad goal. And, you know, my bad thing is Koskinen. Bruce, I had Vancouver scoring on their first 4 scoring chances. And I had 3 out of 4 of them great B chances.
Wow.
He certainly should have had, and I'm a little worried because I'm starting to see teams picking that guy off above his glove hand. We've seen a number of goals now where they're going glove side, high glove side on Koskinen and having some success. So, and I'm not going to get into other people who made mistakes on those goals against, because I know that's, you're going to get into that a little bit, but
little bit.
he should have had that first one for sure. And the third goal, I had him missing that one. And the last one, Rossell's goal, the ball, the puck was ping-ponging around, but Koskinen was on that side of the net. And I just think the shot caught him, as opposed to being an A chance, it was from definitely outside the A chance area. I saw the goalie not being set, not being ready for it, a little bit surprised, and I thought he should have had that as well. So, listen, Matt, if you let in three grade B chances, the chances of your team winning are almost zero,
No, no.
unless the other goalie's even worse. Like you just you, it's it breaks the backbone of your team. And to give the Oilers credit, they had some fight and they tried to come back in that game. But man, Koskinen. And I, we're not, you know, maybe he deserves a one in that game.
He's getting a one in
Yeah,
this game.
he deserves a one. I thought you were going to give him a one. That's a one.
He got a
You know,
10 when he deserved a 10, and he's going to get a one when he deserves a one. I mean, I have some sympathy as an old goalie myself, but it wasn't his night. Six shots, two saves.
oh God. Oh God, it was just what we didn't need, right? Because the owners needed that. Like they just need their they keep scraping. How many times now have they scraped back to 500? Is that twice they've done it already? Under
Yep.
McClellan, they did it, did they not? Scrape back to
When
500?
they fell apart with a four-game losing streak
And then
both
they did it
times.
with Fitch.
Yep.
And now there's extenuating
Yes.
circumstances, but this wasn't the defenseman being injured. Like the owners had a pretty solid defensive effort there tonight. This was goaltending, and we'd be much more angry, of course, if Koskinen, this was his 10th game, you know, or his every second game or every third game was like this. But this is really his first true stinker, I would say. Although he's been trending down in the last five games,
Well,
letting in more grade B chances, and man, this is not a good trend, Bruce.
remember the game they won in Colorado where they had a 5-1 lead in the third period and they hung on to win 6-4. So we gave them three in the third period that game. Then they lost in Vancouver 3-2, where you were quite critical of his performance, 4-2 with the empty netter, but he let in three and a couple of them were grade B chances. He wrote a
Yeah.
post about that. Then he wasn't bad on Saturday night, but he did give in five goals to the Lightning. And then tonight, four goals in one period. So that's 15 goals against in eight periods. And whatever his great numbers were, they're gone. I haven't looked them up, but I mean, I'm sure they're still, good, decent to good, but they're certainly no longer great, not after 15 goals against in eight periods.
Well, it's good they have Cam Talbot. I mean, this is what Hitchcock has said. He's learned from bitter experience about the need to have two goalies, and they have two goalies. So now they're going to go back to Cam Talbot, and we'll see. Maybe he can carry this team for a while. Wouldn't that be fantastic if that's what happened?
100% chance he starts the next game. And I would say, I mean, we've seen this movie before with Talbot and the Swedish goalie monster, Anders Nilsson, now Vancouver's backup netminder in 2015, where Nilsson sees the job right into the middle of December, and then his game started to come apart. And I hope that's not what we're seeing here, but the last little while has shaken Oilers fans' confidence in number 19, I would have to think.
His record now is 11 wins and 7 losses. Talbot's is 7 wins and 12 losses. Koskinen save percentages is a still strong 918, and Talbot's is 896. So
Yeah,
there's
he
a
was
ways.
930 recently, and now it's dropped to 918 and trending
Yeah.
down.
Talbot was, I think, in the 880s, and he's turning up a bit. So they really. Man, just goaltending is so critical. It just hits you over the head, and I think we had forgotten how critical it was in Edmonton. Maybe not, but when Koskinen played well, it was just such so refreshing. It was thrilling, actually, as an Oilers fan to have a goalie in there. And I remember in the Colorado game, kind of thinking like, man, we've got our goalie. I had finally kind of thought that, like, this guy is super solid. And now, man, and again, there's been a lot of shots right over his glove hand, Bruce. And I hope that's not a major hole. Maybe it's just that he's gotten into some kind of hitch in his, I don't think he wears gloves, hands not high enough. He's not getting it high enough early on. But maybe they can work on that and solve that. And so fingers crossed.
Yeah.
What's your bad thing?
Well, my bad thing is Milan Lucic. And I'm going to pick on him a little bit today because today in the pregame, Hitchcock was fairly critical of that, what they call their identity line. He came out and he said, they're not creating enough, and they're not creating enough because they're not holding the puck in the other team's zone enough. And he wanted them to be banging the boards and bullying the puck to the net more. But they had one shift. They started the game, and they had one decent shift. And then on the second shift, Lucic got a pass about 2 feet inside his own blue line. And he did the same thing that he's done about 100 other times, which is fail to get the puck out over the blue line from 2 feet away because he was too slow. And the Canuck guy came and just checked it off of him, turnover into the slot, goal. And the Oilers were behind and they stayed behind. So that was a killer. And then the 3-1 goal was where all three of the identity line guys got beaten by the same one decent but not great pass from Derek Pouliot, I think it was, up the wing. And all three forwards got caught on the wrong side of the puck. And the three Vancouver forwards wound up getting a 3-on-2 and scoring. And Lucic was slow on the back check on that goal, is how I see how you scored it, and I tend to agree. I mean, all three forwards.
Well, he was third man high. Like he should be the guy covering.
He was on
Peterson was his man, and he let him go, and that's his fault. And Bruce, I don't know if you're giving him a one or a two, but he deserves to sit.
I'm giving him a one, and I'm doing it to emphasize the case that it's time for him to sit. I'm exactly 100% on board with you on that one. The time has come. He's played 80 games in 2018. He has 2 goals. He's minus 29, and he is killing this team many more nights than he's doing anything to really advance the cause. There are some things he does well. He bangs bodies. He had 6 hits tonight. But you tell me, did any of those hits actually cause change of possession that created something for the Oilers? I can't remember one.
My heart sank when they put him with Nugent Hopkins and Puljujärvi. I thought, oh well, there goes that line's chance to score. I mean, I think they were trying to get a checking line there with Brodziak and Reeder. At least Reeder's useful. I mean, he hasn't scored this year either, and that which is frustrating. Like so many of the wingers, it's frustrating. But at least players like Reeder, Ratti, Puljujärvi, they're coming close. They are. You know, there was this narrative earlier that, well, Lucic, and we heard this, Lucic is getting his chances and he just hasn't scored. We even heard that this year. That is not true. Bruce, that it is just not true. He's not getting his chances. He and Brodziak are the worst creating. Brodziak creates the least on the attack of any center, which is no surprise, but Lucic is the weakest winger. He just doesn't create grade A chances. If he didn't have that huge contract, I wonder if they would have even brought him back this year. They probably would have for one more year, but this has got to be this. If this continues, and there's no reason it's not going to continue. They're going to have to buy him out, but he should be sitting now. There's just no doubt about it. And I wonder if they've got the jam to do it. Hitchcock, he wants to win. Poor McClellan. I mean, maybe he stuck with him. He certainly stuck with him too long in prime positions last year, and it sunk the team. And Lucic just can't keep sinking the Oilers anymore, and he sunk them tonight with a turnover in his own zone in the high slot, and they turned it into a goal. And you can't have that from wingers, and it's time for him to sit down and watch.
Well, he had 0 shots on net tonight, and he had 0 contributions to scoring chances. So I think just the 2 against, but they both wound up in the net. He has just 39 shots on the season, like 1 shot per game. And this from a guy that's playing 14 minutes a night and has been getting, you know, until recently, regular time on the power play, and he just isn't generating anything. And he's had, you know, he got 1 goal on his first shot of the season, and since then he's 0 for 38. And out for 36 games. I mean, the contract aside, just if you're the coach and you're saying, okay, these are my 23 players, which 20 do I start next game? unless these illnesses and the injury, unfortunate injury to Alex Chiasson tonight, are forcing his hand, I would suggest we've reached the point where it would be Lucic's turn to be watching a game from upstairs and maybe taking a few mental notes of what's going on down there. Because at ice level, he's a step behind.
Sure, missing Ryan Strome right now too, and I know the legend of Ryan Strome was way hardcore because he was when he got traded, very few people mourned the trade. But he's a better player than Spooner. It's clear he was a much more useful player. He helped on the penalty kill, and he's turned it around a little bit in New York. He's got, I think, 6 points in however many games he's played there. And anyway, it's just frustrating, the whole thing.
Spooner tonight.
You didn't know he was okay. Oh,
I thought he was all right. Now, fourth line, well, I mean, they only had 11 players on the bench after Chiasson went out. So he and Zikov played with a little bit with Nuge, a little bit with McDavid. And they pushed the play not too bad for the role. I thought they were fine. But the fact remains that of the bottom six lines for the two teams, Vancouver's line of Tyler Motte with the reprehensible Antoine Roussel and Jay Beagle was dominant compared to anything Edmonton could put out there. Man, we'd kill to have a bottom six line like that trio.
Yeah, well, just play players who can play. Don't play them on reputation. And if you continue to do that, you're going to get burnt. They've got to man up and bench him. They got to send him to the press box because that's what you will get. That's what did in McClellan, and that's what it's going to do. And if he doesn't make the hard call and say, hey, go sit in the press box for a week or two, mm-hmm. and we'll play somebody else. And maybe it's a no-name player like that. What's his name? Tyler Motte? Is that his name? Who's ever heard of him? Play a no-name player that can play.
Sure, good game tonight.
Patrick Russell's a better player than Milan Lucic at this point. Like, seriously. Patrick Russell can at least help you kill penalties. And you know, just play someone who can play, not someone who can't. What's your number, Bruce?
I think I'm going to go with the number six tonight, which is also, besides by Lucic, the number of hits recorded by Leon Draisaitl. And I loved Big Leon's game tonight. He brought the nasty. He brought it early. He had three hits in the first period, and he was bouncing guys. Guys were trying to take the puck off of him, and he was protecting the puck and just bouncing the guys that were coming at him. And he was running over guys with the puck on the rush or cycling in the zone. On the first Oilers goal, he made a beautiful play along the wall to beat two Canucks on the power play and really open up the pass from the corner to the slot from McDavid to Nugent Hopkins. And, of course, the second tally, he got himself on a wicked shot that rang the far post on its way into the net. And I liked his game, but I particularly like it when Leon puts it into beast mode. He's almost impossible to contain when he plays like that. And honestly, I mean, for all that McDavid was the second star and had some spectacular rushes, to me, Leon was the one that was more driving the play for much of the game.
Yeah, he's such a fine hockey player, and we've criticized him the last month because he's had some bad games. But when he's going strong, what a great hockey player! What a great two way hockey player Leon Draisaitl is. I'm so glad that he's locked into the Oilers and. Time to bring in some new guys. And Bruce, I got a strong hunch it's going to be a new GM. I mean, Milan Lucic is going to be the end of Shirelli. Fundamental miscalculation was size. We have to have this huge team, and this is the guy we're going to bring in to do it. And man, did he went all in. He went all in on Milan Lucic, and he is going to pay with his job for that. Okay, my number, Bruce, is 6-6. Huh. The grade A scoring chances. 6 for Vancouver, 6 for Edmonton. So a really low event game for both teams. Not a lot of scoring chances, especially in today's free-flow NHL. And the difference was goaltending. Simple as that. They just Oilers got enough. Sucks.
Well, between us then, we got 666, the number of the beast. So I had the six hits, and you got the 6-6 scoring chances. And, between the two teams, I got six goals, and it just, it was a double of a game.
All right, Bruce, well, let's leave it there. You got to write, and you got to crank this.
I do. I'm not as angry as I thought I would be if we lost the Canucks. You know what? I don't actually hate these Canucks. I think they're kind of a fun team to watch the way they're currently constructed.
Oh, that Peterson is such a fantastic hockey player.
He's good, eh?
Oh, geez. He's like Steve Yzerman. He's so good with the puck. He's so smart. Sakic, Yzerman, that quality of player.
I'll give them credit. I mean, 6-6 in a score effects kind of game where Vancouver was leading throughout, to hold the other team to six is a major win for them. To have such a low total means a team that was defending the lead really did their job. And they defended the slot very well. And the Oilers were struggling to get any shots through from anywhere but bad angles. So even though they got lots of shots, 32, it took them 68 shot attempts to get those 32 shots. So that, you know, Vancouver was defending hard and effectively. And credit where due. I think overall, even though the flow of play says Edmonton was the better team, I beg to differ.
Yeah, one of the chances was Puljujarvi's tip. Mm-hmm. Too bad that didn't go in.
Yeah.
On Nurse's shot. But not to be. Thanks for talking tonight, Bruce.
To be tonight. Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Saturday afternoon, reminder to people, the game is not a night game. It's a rare Saturday afternoon home game, 2 p.m. our time.
Oh, I'll be coaching then. We're in a tournament right now, one of my teams. So, alrighty. And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.